Hi there, and welcome to yet another episode of the Make Art, Don't Starve podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey.
And I'm your other host, Al, and today we are going to be continuing our discussion on all things sponsorship. So this is the second in this little series. If you haven't seen the first one, definitely go watch it. We talked about getting in contact with companies, how to kind of start that conversation, and not getting scammed, the basics. Today, we are going to be talking about how to make money from sponsorships.
But before we get into the numbers, Al, do you want to give a brief overview of the different types of sponsorships that are actually out there?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, there's like two main kinds. There's a mention and then there's a full integration. So a mention is usually kind of like an ad spot. It's 30 to about 180 seconds. Basically, where usually a company will kind of give you a few talking points and you just take a bit of time sometime throughout your video to give this company a shout out. A full integration is an entire video dedicated to talking about this company. It could be kind of like a review video reviewing art supplies. It could be a tutorial on how to use something, but it's basically an entire video dedicated to talking about one company. You're not talking about anything else. So it's usually like a much bigger, much higher price tag, bigger ordeal. So those are the two main types that we're going to talk about.
So when you're actually figuring out your rates, I highly recommend that your full integration, your full featured, full sponsorship kind of rate should be around 3 to 4 times higher than your brief mention. Mm-hmm. Just because like they're getting the entire video rather than just a section of it, they're going to have more creative control. Whereas like in a mention, it can kind of be in like whatever kind of video you want. Generally speaking, there might be more rounds of revisions in a full integration. I think it's really important to be able to price yourself fairly. And in that same line of thought, I actually want to talk about briefly some considerations to take in when you're figuring out your rate, because I don't think that it's super intuitive. And I think that people oftentimes really underprice themselves and really undercharge. And it can be tempting to settle for a really low rate or maybe even do it for free when you're just starting out. But I think it's important to remember that that lowers the rate for the entire community, because companies do average like, okay, these are 5 influencers or 5 creators on YouTube that have around this amount of a following, and they charged this much each of them. Let's take the average of that when pitching to new people. I don't know for a fact that they're like, you know, deliberately trying to like screw people over, but they're obviously a for-profit company. Mm-hmm. Like they want to make money, and the best way for them to make even more profits is for them to pay you as little as possible. At the end of the day, you are making a commercial for this company. So when a company offers you just a free product for compensation, for a free mention, for a fully featured video, I think that's bad. Why do I think that's bad? Because again, you're making a commercial and that item is a prop for the commercial. You would not like go to a celebrity like Ryan Reynolds and be like, hey, like we would love for you to promote this whiskey brand, but we'll only pay you in the whiskey, like this one bottle. You'd be like, no. Like Ryan Reynolds would say, my time is worth something and your time is worth something regardless of how much of an audience you have. I don't think that free stuff should constitute compensation. We talked about this a little bit in the previous episode, but like literally just charge something.
Yeah.
Or at least like make it clear that you're making an exception for this company. Like maybe you really want the thing and like its price tag is like maybe even more than you would regularly charge. That's different. But like this takes effort. It takes a lot of work. You should at least be aspiring to make minimum wage. It takes time to ideate, to figure out the video concept, to write or research, to film, to edit, to revise, to edit again, to design the thumbnail, to post it. Like that's a ton of stuff. And there's a reason that bigger YouTubers have an entire team surrounding them, because all of those things are jobs. You're doing a lot as a one-person show, and like You deserve so much more, okay? Like, every artist out there just, like, deserves so much more than they're charging. I almost guarantee it.
Also, keep in mind that when you're working with a company, they are not only paying for, you know, your time and the effort for the video, they're paying for your endorsement. Like Kelsey said, it's a commercial. Yeah. You are tying your name to this company, to this product, and that is worth something. Again, no matter, like, the size of your audience, having your stamp of approval, even if I've given negative reviews and I still charge those people because I've talked about them. They might not remember what I say, but they'll remember that I talked about that company, and that might sway their decision later. You're taking the time to put your name on something, and that is that is worth something. Charge for that. It is absolutely like, that's something that I think about all the time is this a company that I want to endorse, that I want to put my name with? And if it is, then they need to pay for that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And furthermore, like, if it's a big ticket item, like maybe you're promoting a course or like a computer, they only have to sell maybe like one or two of those to make their money back on that endorsement and like that sponsorship. If the product costs like $2,000 and they're paying you $500, sweetie.
Yeah.
We need to talk about that. Because, I mean, seriously, again, like you deserve so much more. And when they're making their money back, even before you've even posted the video, like the value proposition and even like you saying anything about this company, positive or no, has an immense amount of value. Like maybe in that negative review, somebody watched that and was like, I actually disagree. I like how this looks. Like maybe those cons don't matter that much to me. And I appreciate the fact that Al was like, you know, willing to be really honest. And maybe like I trust them more because of that. And I'm willing to watch their other videos. You know what I mean? Especially when you're small, the companies are mostly paying for the effort that it takes to make these sponsorships. And like, that's really important to just like at least charge yourself minimum wage again, like at least try and like make something out of it. I think that's really important is actually that like, even when you're a small creator, your audience is insanely engaged. Like you have an insanely engaged following, and larger creators especially often have a more engaged audience that's more valuable for advertisers than TV commercial slots, like paid cable commercial slots. Those cost anywhere from hundreds of thousands to tens of millions of dollars for primetime TV, and companies will shell out that money on a whim.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason that Super Bowl commercials are like an event. They cost so much just because like that's super valuable. That's like people are on television when they're watching. So I guarantee you there are YouTubers that probably have maybe two times that engagement rate when it comes to like somebody converting based on that Super Bowl TV commercial. So yeah, charge money.
Yeah, like you're going to get this company direct sales. Like when they shell out that much money for a commercial, it's in the hopes that people like see the commercial and like think of their company. You are like essentially telling people to go buy something, even if you're not, that's not your intention. That's essentially what you're doing. Like you are much more likely to get direct sales. And like, that is absolutely, absolutely worth something. There's a reason companies want to reach out to even small companies, small influencers. Like if you are getting these offers, it's because they think that you're worth it. And if they think you're worth it, then they should be willing to pay. And especially, like Kelsey said, it's so tempting to take those free, like free offers and these free, you know, or really, really low rates. It's so easy to do that. But if you do, then they're going to think that they can keep doing that. And they're going to think that they can keep doing that to you. And it is so important that you, at the very least, like you don't need to take every, there will be other opportunities. You don't need to take them if they're not going to respect your time. And remember, like this is supposed to be your job, even if it's not your full-time job, this is something that you should be compensated for. And if they're not willing to pay for you to make an entire commercial for them, then it's really not worth your time. And it can be really scary when it's in the beginning and you really don't know how this works and you don't know how much to charge. But that's what we're here for. You should charge. Don't forget, you should charge.
I think a good rule of thumb when figuring out your rate and when considering it is like, if you feel a little bit uncomfortable with it, like if you feel a little bit of imposter syndrome, then it's probably like about the right rate.
Yeah. When you start like, feeling a little like, what?
Like if you're thinking to yourself, that's kind of too much money. That can't be real, right? That's about probably what you should
that's
be charging.
That's what you want
to be, yeah. Yeah. And again, like when I figure out my own rates, I have to take consideration like the evergreen nature of my content. So my videos tend to spike up kind of out of nowhere, and their potential is measured in like years rather than weeks. And so a video might not do well right away, but it could pop off like 6-7 months from now. And actually had that be the case for a sponsored video that I did rather recently, and I know for a fact that I had that company, I could have charged so much more for that one video if I had known for a fact that it was going to like spike like a month later. But I think it's important to like price that possibility in when you are making your rates. Like you have no idea how many views that video is going to get, and you can't control that. So I think it's really important to build that into your rates. Be like, hey, like there's maybe a 15% chance that this video could do 100,000 views, and like I should factor that in. And also like my content might be really evergreen, and so that's important too. Whereas like if your content was really news-based, if it was super like current eventsy, you might have to charge a little bit less because your content has less growth potential over time. So yeah, when figuring out your rates, I think it's pretty good to be a little bit uncomfy with the price, like be like, is this too high? And also to raise your rates with every single sponsorship. So every single time you gain more experience, you become a better salesperson for that commercial that you're making for them, and you should charge more.
Absolutely. Another thing that I like to keep in mind when I'm considering my rates is I like to, like Kelsey was talking about earlier, there are so many different parts that make up this job that usually people outsource for. I like to think of like, what if I had to pay all these people to do things, would I be able to, would I afford to be able to pay them based on what they're paying me? So like I do have an editor, and when a company wants to pay me $50 to make a video, that doesn't even cover 10 minutes of editing. I'm not gonna do that for $50. Yeah. So I like to think about, is this enough time? Is this enough money to take up my time? Is it enough for me to be able to pay the people that I need to pay? So think about that. Imagine that you are your own employee. Are you going to be able to afford to pay yourself based on what they're paying you? So definitely keep that in mind. I think that's a good rule of thumb for, especially when you're starting and you're just not sure what's worth your time. Imagine that this is a part-time job. Are you going to be happy with what they're paying you if you're like sitting working at, you know, a counter all day? Are you going to be happy with that rate at the end of the day? So think about it in that term. And I think that helps put it into an easier, more easy to understand perspective.
And also, when you are very small, you might want to consider adding in other things and creating like a package when it comes to a sponsorship rate to be able to charge more. So maybe if a company purchases a 30-second mention from you in one of your YouTube videos, maybe you bake in like an Instagram story shout out or something, or you send them like 10 high quality photos of you using the product they can use in marketing. That even by itself is a ton of value add that would allow you to charge a lot more while still keeping like the deliverables, like the actual work that you have to put in, fairly low. Like you're not adding in 5 more videos on top of that. You're actually keeping it pretty low, but you're providing different kinds of value for the company, and they might really need like imagery to use in advertising. You'd like seriously never know. Maybe you'll create like an Instagram ad for them or something, and like that is something they can use an infinite number of times and get a ton of profit from and like sales conversions, but you're not doing like a whole lot of like the lifting yourself after the fact. You just have to make it once. So I think be a little bit creative with what you can offer companies, and also remember that like your time is worth something, as we've said, and also that your audience, however small it is, does have value.
And before you give your rate, a lot of times companies will kind of email you and be like, hey, we want this, like what's your rate for that? Before you even give a rate, make sure that you know exactly what they want from you. Either like Kelsey said, offer them that package, or like determine exactly what they want from you. Back when I was starting out, I would fall into this trap all the time of they would say, hey, we just want like one post or whatever. And then I say, okay, like here's my price for that. And then they would respond with like, great. And now we also want all of these other things that come with that. And I was too uncomfortable to say like, no, that's not what I agreed to. But that's not what you agreed to. You don't have to do those things. So make sure it's clear what they want from you from the get-go so you can properly like price for that.
Yeah, like we were saying, you know, if companies want more from you than they initially said in the pitch email, say no. Yes. Be willing to end the contract, be willing to send money back if you have to, but always be willing to walk away. They need you usually so much more than you need them. And also like when you come off as really desperate, they're going to undercharge you even more. So make sure that you come across as professional and willing to walk away. And I think that's where like a media kit can come into consideration. A media kit is a couple of pages of like what your channel's about, who you are, like what your social following is like some of the stats and stuff, like companies usually want to know demographics, like age, sex, location, and stuff like that. Like maybe like how big your audience is, your engagement rate, whatever. And then on the last page of that media kit, you can have your rates. I usually don't include the rates page for bigger companies, but I will for smaller companies if I want them to leave me alone. Like, yeah, you're lowballing me right now. Like, here's what I usually charge. And it's presented in this like really nice way. So it's very clear, like, I'm a professional, this is my job, and that can make companies take you more seriously. But a basic formula for when you're figuring out how much to charge, there is actually a formula for this. It's fairly simple. And we actually do this ourselves, so we can tell you how much we should be charging and how much we are actually charging.
Which is not enough. I'm certainly not charging enough.
Yeah, I did this math and I was like, there's no way.
I know.
But you basically want to take a high CPM, so $25 within this formula be 0.25. This is basically the cost per 1,000 views. So for every 1,000 views your video gets, you earn about this much. And if you are a YouTuber and you're already monetized or you know about YouTube monetization, you already might know a little bit about what CPMs are. But in your AdSense, you might see a CPM that's much lower than this. That's fine, but when companies are paying for a direct shout out, when you are doing all of this work, they have to be charged a higher CPM.
Absolutely.
So a good starting point is about a $25 CPM, which again, this formula would be 0.25. And then you want to times that by the average amount of views your last 7 videos have received. And then you add about 10% of that for a cushion because they're going to lowball you when they come back at, after that number, because this is a negotiation. And then that's kind of your sponsorship rate. So 0.25 times an average amount of views, like let's say that's 41,120, which is the last 7 uploads on my channel at the time of recording this. And then a $25 CPM would total to $10,280, which is how much I should be charging apparently for sponsored
Pop
rates,
off
which is
though.
way too high.
If you have outliers,
Yeah.
videos that blow up can kind of confuse your numbers a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think they're worth, at least if maybe you have like two outliers in your seven, maybe take out one but leave one in, because if you have one, then it's likely that you'll get more. So definitely like outliers make it really scary, but if you earned those views, then you should count those views. So when you're doing the
Absolutely.
math,
Yeah,
you
and
can be like,
that's
wow, that's crazy, but have confidence. You deserve the money.
What happened in this case. I had two
Yeah.
really big outliers that had over 100,000 views, and most of my videos have about 10K-ish that aren't those videos, so that's a huge reason why that rate was so high. If I was getting consistently 100,000 views per video, I would be able to easily charge
Yeah.
that rate, that 10 grand, easily.
Yeah.
That'd be no problem. But I am not. So, yeah, that's how much I apparently should be charging. I think that's way too high. I mean, like this is supposed to give you like a ballpark number. And so I tried to take out those outliers, and instead, I got $6,168 for a sponsored rate, which I think is still fairly high. Probably like realistically half that, like from the companies that I've worked with in the past and how much I know they're willing to charge. I'd probably say like maybe three. But yeah, how much are you supposed to be charging now?
So I'm supposed to be charging based on a $25 CPM with my last 7 videos, averaging to about 9,800 views, plus the 10%.
I did
That
not add in the
is.
10%, by the way, just for the record. I
Okay,
did not add
gotcha.
that in.
I
Yeah.
did add in the 10%. Actually, I have it both. Before the 10%, it's 2,475, and after the 10%, it's 2,750, which is definitely more than I am charging. And
But that
that's the
seems pretty
thing.
reasonable.
It does seem
Yeah.
reasonable. Like I feel confident charging that, but
Yeah.
that's the thing is like when you talk to it, even now, I've been doing this for a while, even now talking to a company, it's so hard to be like, I am worth this amount. Like give me this amount or I won't work with you. It's really
Yeah.
like it's so like Kelsey and I are sitting here telling you like charge, you know, you're worth it. Like it's but it is it's a mental battle, especially when in the creative community, a lot of us deal with things like imposter syndrome. It's really,
Oh,
really
yeah.
hard to feel like you have the standing to charge that much, especially from companies who might not take you seriously. And it is really hard to say like, hey, I am worth this amount, but you know what? You are. Like we're telling you, Kelsey and I are telling you are. You have every
Yeah.
right to ask for when if you calculate that and you're like, that's way too much money. No, it's not. No, it's not. You don't have to charge that much, but it's
Yeah.
not too much. You absolutely deserve to be paid. Like this is a formula specifically designed to figure out a fair payment. This is fair. You are allowed to get asked for these high numbers.
Oh,
And you know
yeah.
what? Maybe companies will say no, but then you're not wasting your time if they do. So it's
Exactly.
absolutely worth it.
And maybe you write down in the email that you are willing to negotiate because this,
Yeah.
at the end of the day, is a negotiation. But I think it's so indicative of like the culture in the art community that like we start off this episode by talking about like you should charge money, like you're worth things. And then we see those numbers and we were like, that's too much money though.
Yeah, but
We
it's a
couldn't
hard
charge that.
thing. It's absolutely hard, especially when you're just so used to being told as an artist, like
Yeah.
that your what you do isn't worth and that what you do isn't doesn't have value. And obviously those tides are changing, but it can still be
Yeah.
really, especially when it's just you and you're the only person behind your business. It is so hard to tell a company, even though you know they can afford it, you know they have plenty of money to do it. It is so hard to tell them like,
Skillshare.
It's so hard to say, like, I am worth the investment. And but that can definitely take work. And, like, don't feel bad if you start out kind of accidentally lowballing yourself or you agree to lowball numbers. Don't feel bad about yourself, but definitely, like, learn from it because you, like, you deserve to be compensated. It's such a hard, like, mental battle. It takes a long time. Like, I'm still in the trenches, man, but it's... We'll get there.
I still get companies like rolling into my email or my DMs being like, hi, like, we'll charge you $100 for a 180-second mention. And I'm like, no. Is it a joke? Are you kidding me right now? Like,
do you, like,
I'm Snapchat sorry, there's or... no way. Especially like for like you and like your views right now, I think $2,500 is a pretty solid rate. Like,
yeah.
That's like rent for the month. Like, in like 2 days, you can make that. Like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Actually, when you said that, that makes me think of back when I was starting, when you put it into that perspective of like, wow, like I worked at like Michael's and I would think like a company would offer me like $200 and I'd be like, wow, that's half my week at Michael's just for doing like one little thing. And, but it like was, that's still not it. Like even when you put it in that perspective and it's really exciting to even be paid kind of like that amount, it's still, sometimes that's still not enough. Even when you have that perspective of like, wow, this is an hour or this is like a week of my job for like a little bit of work. That can make it seem like, wow, I'm being paid a lot, but.
But you were being underpaid at Michael's.
You're being underpaid, exactly. You're still being underpaid. Like, so always put it into perspective of like you get to decide how much you get paid. You get to decide what you have to do. You are your employer. Imagine that you're working at that stupid retail job. Like, what did you want then? You have the power to give that to yourself now. So, like, treat yourself like you're the perfect boss. That's, like, what I try to remind myself is, like, when I'm considering, like, do I take this bad offer? Like, no, I shouldn't, because if my boss at Michael's tried to pay me that, I would have been pissed. Yeah. So, keep that in mind as well.
I also think it's important to remember that, like, especially if you're in the U.S., U.S. wages have been terrible at keeping up with inflation. Mm-hmm. So, what you might be used to charging for an hourly rate at, like, a retail job, that's also exploitative.
Yes.
That's also underpaying yourself, or like the company's also underpaying you. I would be really vigilant of what you think that you're worth, because companies have conditioned you to believe that. And that's not actually usually representative of your true skills. And if you went to almost literally any other country, you would be paid like 3 times that, or you'd have so much more benefits delivered to you by the government. Like, you'd have more of a social safety net. Like, the price of goods would be lower, even if like your actual wage might be lower in terms of the numbers, your purchasing power would be greatly increased. And so I think it's really important to like really be able to objectively kind of put your feelings aside and consider, okay, like, what does it take? Like, how much money is it actually, like, is actually required for me to live the way that I want to live?
Yeah.
And what do I need to make to get there? And absolutely, that might be a rate that's very surprising to you. Like, you have to take in consideration rent, groceries, like tax payments, especially as a contractor or someone who's self-employed, you have to save like 25 to 30-ish% of what your income is for taxes. And that's a big chunk of change.
Yeah.
You have to take that into consideration. Like, freelancers have to charge more because we have to pay so much more in taxes that companies would normally pay for us. So yeah, really just like charge yourself more than what you think that you should be worth. And that probably isn't even close to what you should be charging, but it's maybe a good start.
So we've had that conversation about how it is really hard, and we've said our numbers that we should be charging. Kelsey, do you want to give some examples of what you've charged previously?
Oh my God, I'm actually really embarrassed. Like, oh, having said that one number, like $6,000 for a single video, this is gonna be really embarrassing. But I was previously, when I was around 10,000 subscribers, I was paid $3,000 for a 6-video deal. Half of those were fully featured, half of those were 180-second mentions. It's a 3-minute ad spot in what usually is a 10 to 25-minute video. So your girls made some mistakes.
Haven't we all?
But most recently, I was paid, or I will be paid, $1,000 for a 3-video deal, which, yes, is a pay cut. But, like, the heavy lifting wasn't there on my part. I was just beta testing a feature. So, like, the company exercised zero creative control. There were no revisions. It was just, like, me trying out this cool feature, and it's a thing that I would have done for free actually, but they paid me for it, which was cool. So it did require some of my time, and that's what they were paying for. Like, I was making exactly the videos that I otherwise would have made. I changed nothing about my process. I didn't have to mention that it was sponsored. I didn't have to do literally anything. I was just testing this feature, and they paid me, you know, $330-ish per video just to test the feature and give them feedback. And that, I thought, was actually very fair for, like, what the deal actually required.
Yeah.
Which is why I think, again, it's important to, like, read the lines, like, read the fine print and make sure you know exactly what you have to do, because it might be a deal like this where the heavy lifting actually really isn't there. You don't have to do very much. They don't exercise any creative control, but they're paying you, you know, maybe a lower rate than what you're used to. But yeah. And then I've also in the past done freelance video production. I've done two videos for $2,000, which is lower than what I would charge now, but it was like low lifting enough that I didn't really care. Going forward, I'm definitely going to be charging more after this. Like, seeing that $6,000 for one video is like, oh, okay.
Yeah, after
that's an awakening.
Yeah, I feel like I'm definitely going to take some of our own advice going forward.
How much have you charged in the past?
So you were embarrassed. I think I might have the worst, most embarrassing example of all time. Like, genuinely, I am ashamed to say
this. I'm so invested.
I did a contract deal. I'm not going to say the name, but honestly, you can figure it out. You can do the math for yourself. It's really easy.
It's really easy to suss it out.
It was a sponsorship deal for an entire year. And it was when I think I started this at around 15 to 20K.
And this is one video a month, is that right?
This is one video a month for, I think it was about a 60-second ad spot. There were no chances for any sort of bonuses. There was no chance for any kind of reworking of the deal.
Yeah. Did they have any revisions required?
No. It had to be checked at least once.
So one round of revisions.
Yes. For $150 for every month, for an entire year.
Oh my god. Did they pay you up front, or was it monthly?
It was monthly post doing it.
Oh, that's terrible.
It was really bad. And then at the end of the year, when the contract was over, they messaged me. And at that point, I had about doubled my subscriber count. My videos were doing a lot better. They emailed me and they're like, hey, we want to continue working with you. And I was like, great. Here are my rates now. They are drastically, I think I was charging like $600 per video. And they were like, no, we're going to continue with the same offer of $150 per video. And I was like, okay, so no. Because my subscriber count has doubled. You know, I have a lot more views now. And they were like, well, we're happy for you, but you, no, like $150. So I didn't go through with that.
Yeah.
It was
actually
insane.
I'm really proud of you for walking away. Like, just walking away teaches the company so much. Because, like, think about it. Like, if everyone does that, or if enough people do, then they have to raise their rates.
Yeah, they'll know that they can't. And it frustrated me that I took it in the first place, because I kept thinking, like, man, I feel bad for the other artists that they're going to give that offer to now, because I made them think that it was okay. Okay enough for them to continue to give me that offer. That was insane. So that was, I regret doing that one so badly.
Like, even doubling that wouldn't really be enough.
Oh, absolutely not. Every month, and I could tell that my viewers, like, were sick of it too, because it was every month.
Right.
It was the same ad read. So I'm sure people can figure it out. If you watch my videos, you probably know what I'm talking about.
I hate that. I would much rather, honestly, I hate doing ad reads.
Yeah.
And in these sponsored videos that I've done in the past, there's one in particular, the one that I mentioned earlier that has 100,000 views now. Mm-hmm. I convinced the company to give me more creative leeway with that one. And I put it in the later half of the video, so it wasn't right away. Mm-hmm. I didn't mention it until later on in the video. And I was really creative with it. I tried to integrate it as best as possible. And that video did tremendously well. I know it got them tons of signups to their product. And, like, I would much rather have taken a pay cut to be able to do the video like that, how I really wanted, in a way that was interesting, that was kind of a little bit innovative-y, or, like, it wasn't, like, the same ad read over and over.
Yeah.
Because I do think that people really get tired of that. Like, I can recite 5 ad reads for companies that I've never even worked with, like Skillshare, BetterHelp, Squarespace. Mm-hmm. Like, I know exactly what the creator is going to say before they even say it. I can say it along with them if I want to. And that's exhausting.
Yeah.
Like, I want, if I'm going to make a commercial, I want to make the best commercial that I can possibly make, because presumably I'm only working with the companies that I really truly believe in, and I want to give, like, the best presentation of their product possible. Honestly, if you are reaching out to companies, I would strongly encourage everybody watching this to be really inventive with how you integrate it into your videos, and convince the company to give you more creative leeway. Convince the company, like, hey, like, I want to try something different. And, like, however you want to alleviate that risk and how much you charge me for being willing to do something different, I'll take. Honestly, I would consider charging even more for, like, doing something more creative with it, because it does require more work on your part to be able to actually, like, come up with that inventive new spin on whatever you're doing. But, like, I think doing it however you want to do it, doing it in a fun, creative way, will benefit the company more. Like, absolutely. It might not be the 100%, like, legal approved copy that they're used to everybody saying, but, like, think of their return on that investment.
Yeah, when the they invest in, like, so much more.
Exactly. And, like, you want people to keep watching.
Yeah.
If they see the same thing over and over, they're going to skip to when the sponsorship ad read is over. Like, that's not what you want. Yeah. You want them to keep watching. Like, I can see the dip in my sponsored content. Yes. It's, like, it's very visible. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I think that you should charge more.
Absolutely. That sponsorship was absolutely, like, probably my lowest point. Now, for a kind of a comparison, I'm about to do a kind of ad spot mention, and I'm charging $600 on top of a very expensive product that I get for free that I wanted anyways.
Nice.
So, yeah. Like, it's still not perfect, but, like,
and that's a great example of you, like, taking that prop that you really wanted for the commercial, and, like, you really wanted that thing. Like, maybe in the past you've done that for free because it's such a high value item, right. But you're still charging the money for it. Yeah, I think that's so important. That's a really great move. Yeah.
So if, you know, you learn anything from this video, don't sign up to a contract for $150 a video for a whole year. Don't do that.
If you do nothing else, make sure that you have built-in periods of renegotiation.
Oh, for sure.
Like, every
sure.
quarter. Yeah.
If not more.
Yeah, like, maybe if you see a 20% increase in subscribers, you have to renegotiate or something, or, like, whatever.
Protect yourself. Make sure you're getting paid.
So, next, we want to talk a little bit about how to negotiate. We've hinted at this before and sort of in the lead up to this section, but it's really important to remember that, like, that rate that you give isn't the rate that they'll come back at you with. It's not the final rate, which is why I think it's important to be a little bit uncomfy with that first number, because they will come back with a lower number. Right. So you want to build that in, and that's what that 10% is for in that formula. But yeah, so remember that it is a negotiation. There is always room to negotiate, and they are always going to try and negotiate down. That's a part of their job. Like, the person that you're emailing with, like, that is in their job description. I think if they come back with an insanely low-balled rate, like, maybe let's say that you emailed them back and you said that you wanted to charge $2,000 for 120 seconds, like that brief mention, and they come back in the email, we'll pay $300. Maybe you say, hey, listen, like, I'm trying to think of a way to formulate this in, like, corporate polite speak that isn't like, hey, you lowballed me, I think that's disrespectful.
Right.
But maybe it's like, clearly your budget doesn't currently accommodate my value. Maybe come back when you have more resources or something. Or, like, just a polite rejection.
Yeah.
And then that still, by the way, does not end the negotiation. They might still come back at you with, hi, like, we'll take, you know, maybe $1,000. And just signal that you're willing to walk away, that you really don't need them.
Yeah. And when you're in the beginning stages, if you're not comfortable kind of, or if you maybe don't have the views to kind of set up that, use that formula, or if you don't have, like, your videos yet, enough videos to kind of formulate that, or, you know, whatever your situation may be, or if you're, like, doing it via Instagram instead of YouTube, if you don't know what your rate should be, if you can't use a formula, whatever, if you're beginning, you're uncomfortable, never give them the first number. If you, like, have no idea what to charge at all, let them tell you what their budget is. Because the thing is about all of this is companies get to know what they pay everyone. They get to know what the industry standard is. They get to know what they expect you to pay and how they get to take advantage of everyone else. And they know
and
they
you're
can
take in
advantage
the dark.
Of you. And you're in the dark. You don't know what other people are paying. You don't know what they're charging. You don't know what everyone, you don't know anything else. They know exactly how much money they have set aside for you. And they're just hoping you say $50 instead of the $2,000 that they have set aside. Let them tell you what their budget is before anything else. And then you know if it's worth your time at all. If they say $50, you say, like, no, absolutely not. Or they can tell you, yeah, we have $2,000 set aside. And you know that you can take the $2,000. I used to do this all the time. I'd be like, oh, my rate is like $200. Is that okay? And they'd be like, no, it's not. $50. And I'd be like, okay, sorry. And I would take it. Don't do that. Like, if you just say, like, yeah, just let me know what your budget is, and I'll let you know if that works for me. And then they'll tell you, and then you win. Don't
Yeah, I think
ever start with the first number.
that's a good move for sure, especially when it's a huge company. Like
Yeah,
if
'cause
like
they can work
Target
it.
is emailing you
Yeah.
and they're like, "Do you want to work together?" And you're like, "Yeah, my rate's $200." Target's gonna be like, "What the fuck?"
Oh, well,
Okay, sure.
we set aside like 6,000, but if you only want two,
I
that's
guess that
fine.
saves us money. Yeah, always ask what their budget is when it's a huge company, or like even any sized company, honestly. And if they lowball you, if that rate's too low, be like, "Hi, like my standard rate for, XYZ deliverables," which is what like action items are called in a
Yes.
sponsorship. Like if you have to post a video and an Instagram story, that's what's called a deliverable. So make sure that you outline like, what your rates are for these, deliverables. Maybe you have it in a package, like we said earlier. But yeah, always ask for
Yeah.
them to tell you their budget. Yeah, and then also, again, always be willing to walk away, always seem professional in negotiations, never be really rude. Yeah.
One thing I do want to mention as kind of an exception to these kinds of things, especially in something like a negotiation, if you say like, "Hey, what's your budget?" and they're like, "We don't have a budget," or like $30. If it's like an Etsy shop, if it's like a small business like that makes
That's
like
different.
handmade
Yeah, for sure.
watercolors and they want to send you their stuff, you don't need to charge them $2,000. Just to be
Yeah.
clear, like when I was starting, like I didn't know like what that difference was between like these other small companies. Like small businesses probably do not have the money, and like they might be willing to pay you. They might absolutely like want to do that. But in general, like know that kind of these small businesses or local businesses or Etsy shops, those do have different kind of rules to them, which if anyone
Yeah.
has a question about, like let us know. But generally, like you're not charging like things like Etsy shops, things like you're not charging them usually
Right,
at all, if at
exactly.
all, or and definitely not like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, no. Unless like they're like huge or like whatever.
Yeah,
But yeah,
somehow they can afford that, yeah.
I've reached out to artists that do like courses in the past and been like, "Hey, like I would really love to like take this course. I would gladly make a video about it if you gave me a discount." And not even like mentioning like I, would like this course for free, just being like, "If you gave me a discount, I would make a video about it." And then the artists typically have come back to me being like, "Actually, like I'll let you take the course for free and I'll give you an affiliate link if you make this video." And that, like, they want that advertisement. Like, they want that, that, like, part
Yeah.
of your video. Like, they would love for your audience to convert to their course because that's having a huge impact on their bottom line. And your endorsement makes a huge difference for them, unlike a large company where they reach out to 15 creators at once, maybe, or like in a quarter. So, yeah, I think it's really important to be like cognizant of the size of the company that you're working with and what their budget is. And if it's like a large company, always try to go for a long-term deal that has room for negotiation in it down the line, because companies tend to kind of be like one and done sometimes.
Yeah.
Like they work with you once, they don't want to come back. But I think honestly, the more that I mention a company over time, the more reputation that I build for that company and the more value that it like holds for my audience for me to continually mention it. And like customers typically have to hear about a brand multiple times before they convert, because like I see Instagram ads for the same company like maybe every week for 6 months, and it takes that amount of time for me to like remember who the company is, what their product is, do I like it, do I want to try it out. And
Yeah.
like that prolonged exposure makes a huge difference. So I think it's important to like maybe pitch that long-term deal as well. When a company lowballs you, again, I just think it's worth it to let them know that you have value. Like maybe say that like, I do all of these things by
Yep.
myself. Like
I've had to explain
I've
this before.
charged, this much in the past, and this is my normal rate. Yeah. I mean, what do you do when a company lowballs you? I typically just like write a super long email about it.
Yeah, I'll usually respond and be like, "Hey, that's like not gonna work for me." If it's kind of gone back and forth, if I've done the usual stuff of being like, "Hey, this is like kind of the lowest I can go," or "This is what, will make it worth it for me," or whatever, and they still keep saying like, "No, I can't afford that. I can't afford that. It has to be this amount." Then I'll say like, "Hey, listen, like this is what it takes for me to make this video. I have to pay an editor after this. This is not gonna cover any of that time. You're not paying for my time." And I'll list like the things that go into making a video and let them know you're not paying for that. Like that $50 or that $200 is not gonna cover that amount. And then they'll be like, "Okay, I understand." And then they'll either go away because they really can't afford it, or they'll be like, "Okay, fine, how about this amount?" So that's
Yeah.
usually what I do.
Once you have done that email exchange, once you have gone through that negotiation period, the company will likely either want to jump on a call together. Maybe they want to see your analytics behind the scenes. Maybe they want to, like, think about like the video ideas that you have. Maybe they want to brainstorm together. Maybe they want to walk you through like the thing you'll be trying out or testing for them, or like what the partnership is going to entail. Usually you will have to sign an NDA. That is very standard. Once you have that deal kind of secured and you have that rate locked in, usually they pay you at the end of the deal. So sometimes if it's a long-term deal, you might be paid in installments or in milestones. Maybe you get paid after every video, or maybe you get paid like 20% at the beginning and the rest at the end. That's happened to me in the past. But in that contract that you will get and have to sign to initiate the partnership, there is some stuff that you will usually see in there.
So we're going to talk a little bit about those contracts, those things that you might see, things that you don't want to see, things you want to look out for, and things that are totally normal. So first of all, starting with payments, one thing that I always like to make sure is I like to make sure that the date that I will be paid is in the contract. Because it hasn't been before, and then I like have to wait like months to get paid. So I always like to make it clear that like pay me within 30 days of deliverables, or
and you also want to make sure that you know like who's sending the invoice to who, like what do you have to do to get that money. That's important.
Another thing is to look out for that I don't like is, I mean, it's pretty general, but depending on who it's from, I don't like it, but that's non-competition agreements. So for a bad example that I don't like is if I work with a marker company and they're like, and you're not allowed to show any other markers. Like, Bestie, I hate to tell you this, I'm gonna have to. I'm really gonna have to. But for other companies, like if you're working for Squarespace, excuse me, or Wix, you're probably, if you do a deal with Squarespace and then next week you do a deal with Wix, that doesn't make sense. You're not gonna
companies
be allowed
to do will that. Usually like not necessarily say that you have to, you know, abide by the non-competition agreement for like forever, but they usually will have like a date in there. Like you have months. To, you know, and that also helps you too, because it makes you seem more genuine to your audience. Like it would be weird if an artist was like, like I love Copic markers. Like, I love Ohuhu markers, or like my favorite website platform is Squarespace. And then like next week they're like, my favorite website platform is Wix. And it's like, choose.
So if you see non-competition agreements in there, just really quickly read over that and make sure it's like a fine time limit. But if you see that, that's not necessarily a red flag. It doesn't like mean that it's like a bad
contract. A lot of these things are very normal. And also like, the company has an entire legal team that has to create these contracts. Sometimes the person that you're negotiating with might not even know what's in there, and you should always be like willing to email them and be like, hi, like, can we jump on a call and talk through this contract, or like ask them to change things. I've received contracts with mistakes, like they haven't stipulated any payment when we talked about that in the negotiation period. And I think, like, you know, read through it. There's before also some resources that you can use to like send it to, like there's legal help on demand or something. Like there's like legal services that you can pay a subscription to and like actually send the contract to a real lawyer and have them read through it for you. I'm not sure what that looks like in other countries and other parts of the world, but another thing that you might see in contracts are view guarantees, where like if the company pays you $2,000, they might expect 20,000 views. And if you don't meet that number, you might have to pay some of that back or do another deliverable and be a video or an Instagram story for free.
So the thing with view guarantees for me, especially if you're kind of in the beginning, your views usually are not standard. Like I have my sketchbook tours get a lot of views, and then my regular videos don't do nearly as many views. And for sponsorships, that can be kind of worrying, and they might be like, well, I definitely want tens of thousands of views. I can't fully control that. One thing that I think about is like, this sponsor reached out to me because they thought I was worth it. And if the idea of the video not getting enough views kind of scares them, like that's their problem. If they let me have the creative freedom, then I can probably make sure it doesn't flop. So like, that's definitely a discussion to have. And that's the kind of thing that like, if you don't know if that's something that you can deliver on, nix that from, like, always feel confident enough to make those changes to the contract. I've had to be like, hey, like, I cannot guarantee you this. Like, that's like on you for like not doing the research on my channel before reaching out to me. That kind of thing is different for everyone, and you can't always guarantee that you're going to reach a certain amount of views.
And certain companies might have view guarantees and certain companies might not. They all have like different preferences. And also I think it's important to remember that like sponsored videos are inherently a gamble for the advertiser, like the sponsor of the company. So, you know, they're paying that rate and the video might flop and the video might be a viral hit. You never know. So it's important to make that into your rate. It's important for that to kind of be somewhere in the middle between like the video potentially flopping and the video doing well in terms of like the rate that you would assign to each one. And also, you might want to consider only offering sponsor slots in your videos on videos that you know are going to do well. So if you have a series like sketchbook tours that typically get like 50,000 views per video, you might want to charge more for that type of video. You
Absolutely.
might even have different rates for the different types of videos that you offer. Like, I've never actually heard of this as a thing, but it could totally be one where like maybe your studio vlogs don't do as well as your other videos. You could have a specific rate for your studio vlogs,
Yeah, that's a
and
great idea.
that would be like I totally like just thought of this right now.
Yeah, it's really smart.
But yeah, like that's however you want to do it, you can do it like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And companies might even appreciate the fact that you've thought that out and that you have like they know more of like what to expect for every kind of video that you have on your channel. So
Absolutely.
yeah. Also again, like in contracts, NDAs or non-disclosure agreements, basically you have to keep whatever said in the contract or in the call, like kind of hush hush, you can't share it publicly. That's what an NDA is. That's very standard. Like if a company is giving you early access to a product, like a laptop or something, they're not going to want you to talk about the laptop before its release,
Right.
which is very, very normal. Totally expect that. It's not really weird. They also might have review periods, like maybe they want to review the video at least once before it goes live to give you feedback and request changes. That's also really normal. Yeah, what other things have you found in your contracts?
So another thing that is totally normal and like is generally like that's this is what is going to definitely be in there is video specifics. They can be very, very over demanding, so totally feel free to negotiate that aspect too. But usually they'll ask for having a link in the top of the video description to kind of route you to their website or to the specific product that you're talking about. That is pretty much a given. Sometimes they'll include an affiliate link, something like that. They might require your video to be up for a certain amount of time. They might require the ad spot length. They might require like where the ad spot is in the video or what to say. They might have a full list of what you're supposed to say or features of a product that you should mention. All very standard stuff. Again, this is basically a mini commercial. So if you feel like, wow, they're asking me to do a lot, if it is too much for what you're charging, absolutely feel
Just
free to
say
talk about
so.
that. Absolutely
Yeah.
say so. But generally speaking, like for the kind of what we've been talking about this whole time, you know, your general standard rate, I would not be offended for a company to be like, okay, here's two links to put in your description. We want it to be 150 seconds, and you're going to mention like these 5 to 10 items. We want you to say this action item. We want you to talk about the company. I wouldn't like that would all be totally standard for me. That would not be
Yeah.
something that I would be
Like
that I
again, you're
would
making a
balk at.
commercial. It's pretty standard for like the
Yes.
company to want some kind of control over what you say because you're a representative for their company at that point. But yeah, feel
Yes.
free to be like, are these, talking points or is it a full script? Like, how much
Yeah.
should I stick to this? Can I deviate from this? I feel like it'd be beneficial for you. Like, feel free to negotiate that degree of creative control. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I also want to mention some red flags in contracts
Ooh,
because I know that
spicy.
I personally have caught some stuff that genuinely could have screwed over the rest of my like entire career if I hadn't caught it. So one thing that these companies will do is, and not that all companies are evil, but some of them might be, and they know that you as an individual in this your career, you probably don't have a legal team. They have an entire legal team who literally like went to law school who can write these contracts for them, and they know that
Yeah.
you probably don't know anything about legal contracts, and they
And
probably
again,
don't
that's where
expect you.
like a subscription legal service could come into play and read
Yes,
that out
could be
for
really
you. Yeah.
helpful. They probably don't expect you to read the contracts. Always read, even if it's one page,
Always,
read
always,
the
always.
contracts. Read the contracts. I have caught some very scary things. So there's they might buy the rights to a video, which sometimes can be normal. They might try to buy everything. I've had literally companies attempt to, after that video was posted, they would own the art in the video, they would own all of the copyright to the video, they would have access to the copyrights of anything I did for any other company, any other video that I made, my
Oh my
face, any
God.
platform, any literally anything I did. Like literally anything I did, they would own the copyright to. I don't even know how that was legal. I don't know how that made it onto their contract. And I was like, I'm not signing this. And they were like, okay, oopsie. It was so bizarre. Like literally, the contract, it was literally like after this day, after posting date. It wasn't just, which I don't even like companies to own the copyright to the original video. I especially don't like that. That's actually pretty normal. It is pretty normal. I don't like it if I'm doing art in that video. I don't want them to own the copyright to, like, art accidentally.
So that to me is distinct, and you should always be clear, like, when you're talking to companies, like, what do you own, what do you not? Because usually they will reserve the rights to, like, share that video on their own social media channels, or even to share your likeness in relation to the video, but they don't own your face after. They just own your face as it appears in that video, which is a weird distinction. So it's important to, like, maybe, like,
ask for, get comfortable
with that and ask for clarification. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's, if you're not good at picking that kind of stuff out, if you don't know the difference, if you don't know how to tell the difference, they might end up owning all of anything you ever post. So don't do that. Yikes. Another thing, big yikes, is companies might want your AdSense from that video, which they shouldn't. They should not need your AdSense from that video.
Yeah.
It's so weird. So make sure that they're not asking for that in a contract, because they might be like, we also get all the money.
It probably is weird. So
exactly.
If again, like you said, always follow your gut, be willing to walk away. Like, if you, I feel like you're in too deep, you've already signed, you've already, like, maybe done one video or something, and you notice that, be willing to walk away. Like, if they paid you up front, just send that money back to them.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to sell your soul. Like, we've said this before, but I genuinely do believe that the trust your audience has in you is your most valuable financial asset as a creator, and whatever they're paying you is not worth that. Like,
absolutely.
I keep getting these emails from, like, this NFT project, and they're like, we'll pay you $30,000 to talk about our NFT project for 20 seconds, or, like, whatever. And it's like, yeah, that's, you know, a life-changing amount of money for sure, and I'm, you know, they might be legit, they might not be, whatever, but regardless, like, there's no way that I would do that. Like, I would be losing so much trust in my audience. And, like, NFTs are terrible. Genuinely terrible.
Genuinely really bad. Really, really bad.
Like, for the environment. Like, they steal art. And, like, we have a whole episode planned about NFTs.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. But, yeah, I just think, like, whatever the package is, whatever the rate is, whatever the deliverables are, always be comfortable with it if possible. Like, always make sure that you're checking them out, that the company is worth your time, that they are, like, however, you know, as ethical as you would like them to be, that they're not, like, screwing you over actively, and that, like, you have confidence in their product. That is basically all that we wanted to talk about when it comes to sponsorships. Let us know if you have any questions, if you want to see more specifics, if you want to hear more numbers. Like, we would be glad to share that with you guys. Just let us know down in the comments, and we might release a special third episode that's just a Q&A. So leave whatever comments you have down below.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for watching and listening, or listening.
Or listening.
Or listening.
Shout out to both. Our Spotify listeners.
Hell yeah. Apple Music. Apple Podcasts.
All right. You can listen to us, by the way, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, I think.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you want to listen to us on the go, you can do that. But anyway, thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.